Good morning. 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Bob Johnson joins us by phone every Monday at this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you, sir. So the one story sort of incident kind of thing that I caught with your district, your responsibilities, was I guess there was a Walton teenager who was making bomb threats against Santa Rosa County Schools.
Yep, and we had him picked up, and he's going to stand trial here in Santa Rosa County for being a total moron. Yeah.
Do you ever wish that were just the statute, being a moron in the third degree as a misdemeanor?
Well, no, if that was the case, I'd have to build a jail like 50 times the size of my current one.
Okay, so what happened in this case? Did he call in a threat? It's a social media thing. What happened? It's weird, too, because it's out of district, right?
Yeah, social media thing. So, and, you know, this is what a lot of people don't understand. They hear bomb threat, and they go, well, he called on the phone, and he called the desk at front desk at Milton High School. Most of the ones coming in now are over social media.
Yeah.
These kids playing games on Xbox games. Oh, you go to Milton High School? I'll be there Monday to shoot that school up. You're going to be dead. You know, stuff like that. That's the majority of them now because, of course, all kids have PlayStations and Xboxes, and that's the way they communicate nowadays.
So the crime is either saying it or posting it, right? Either one?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be over a telephone. It's any communication device, which obviously you can communicate over an Xbox or a PlayStation or a phone or a cell phone or, you know. Yeah.
It's an odd thing. I'd never thought of it till you were just saying it. But kids these days hate talking on the phone. So the idea of a kid calling up a school is probably, you know, pretty unlikely, all things considered. Did the school actually have to get shut down because of this, or did it get to that level?
No, it didn't get to that level. We knew who it was pretty quick, so we could take care of it without disrupting any kind of school function.
So I'm going to give you your 30-second pitch to any parents or teenagers who might be listening. What do you want them to know not to do ever?
Well, here's the first thing. Parents listening, check your kids' stuff. Check their cell phones. Check their Xboxes. Watch them when they're playing their games sometimes. And you'll hear parents go, well, he needs his privacy. Okay, we'll give him his privacy. And when that pedophile gets a hold of him, then, you know, he's got his privacy. It's incumbent upon you as a parent to take care and monitor your kids' activities. So monitor their phones. Take their phone from them. Look through it. Look through their texts. Make sure they're not texting adults. And then to the kids, it's pretty easy. If you make a threat against a student at another school or your school or any school function, anything like that, we will find you. We will arrest you. We did it to the guy that was in New Jersey. So we will go wherever we have to go to get you and put you in jail. So it's pretty basic. It's not rocket science.
You know, in our house, having access to your gaming platform, having access to a phone. We were very late to let them have phones. We let them have basically phones so they could watch videos, you know, and play games, but not to actually have social media accounts or even have minutes. That came very late in their lives, like basically when they were like 16 is kind of when we waited to. But, you know, having a door on your room is a privilege. Like, it's my house.
Yeah.
And my job is to protect you and to protect people from you. You're my responsibility. You don't have a lot of real robust rights unless I say you do. That's the way it goes, right?
Correct. And I've heard people say, well, it's his phone. Who's paying for it? Does he have a job and he pays for his own phone? Because I don't think that's happening when you're 13 years old. It's your phone, and you can check it anytime you want. And if he says, I'm not giving you a code, well, you're not getting your phone back. Have a good day. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, some of these, I'm with you. Some of these rules should be fairly straightforward. I did want to ask you, because it's kind of been in the news, the training to participate in Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, ICE training, I thought I had seen that you guys had 15 deputies enrolled in maybe what's a four-week course, but it sounds like that's not really a new thing. Can you maybe clarify this?
Yeah, we've been on the WSO. It's basically Warrant Service Officer, where they can serve federal warrants and detainers. We've been on that program since 2019. So all we're doing is beefing up our staff that we currently have as at WSO. So it's not anything new for Santa Rosa County. We've been doing it, like I said, since 2019. Of course, everything came to a screeching halt when Biden got in, because obviously he opened the borders and nobody was deported. So, but now that President Trump's back in, they're ramping it back up, and we look forward to it. I think it'll be a great thing.
So it sounds like this is just, and you, I think you and I talked about this last week, but this is just a certification so that they are eligible to serve these warrants, so they have the proper training to know what's lawful and what's not lawful, right?
Yeah, so basically it's a course on federal law and immigration law, and they learn how to serve the warrant. So because you think about it, how many illegals are in the country right now? They said it was 20-something million. And how many ICE officers do they have? I guarantee it's not 20 million.
Yeah.
So they can't be everywhere at once. So these WSOs basically just step in for them and take their place to serve a warrant on an individual in our jails.
And that is, it's in the jail is where you're going. You're not talking about going to work sites or homes or schools or anything like that.
No. WSOs are corrections officers, so they don't have the normal power of arrest that a normal deputy sheriff on the road does. They're corrections officers. But this enables them through the federal system to have the right to serve federal warrants inside the jail.
Is that something that... I'm just kind of curious. Is it like they get paid to do this? Is it an extra duty? Is it just part of their job? How does that work with their other job responsibilities?
Yeah, no, it's just basically part of their job. So
okay.
When, let's say I'm out on the road and I pull over an illegal alien and he's driving with no license, I arrest him, I take him to jail. They're going to book him anyways on my charge. So the WSO just steps in with another charge. Once we let ICE know that, hey, so-and-so was arrested, they'll send us and say either he's got a 48-hour detainer, which means we hold him for 48 hours with no charge, and they get him within that 48-hour time period, or they say, hey, we've got a charge. He came back in the country illegally, so we have a charge. We have a warrant for him. Then the WSO steps in, serves that warrant, and then we can keep him as long as we need to until ICE can get him.
Gotcha. Very good. We're talking to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Bob, I just sometimes like to get your opinion about things, and in this case, it's a bill filed by somebody I know you know very well. Representative Michelle Salzman last week filed a bill that would allow anybody 18 and up to buy long guns in the state of Florida. The federal prohibition against handguns is still in place, of course, but in the state after Parkland, part of the compromise bill that was put in place involved prohibiting 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from purchasing guns. They can still have them transferred into their possession, but they cannot purchase them from a gun dealer. I was just kind of curious, since I know you are a very pro-Second Amendment sheriff, if you had a thought about 18, 19, and 20-year-olds being able to buy rifles and shotguns.
I mean, my thought process is this. You know, I went in the military when I was 18. As soon as I got out of high school, I went in the military. And at 18, I was able to give my life for my country if necessary. But I couldn't buy a beer or I couldn't buy a gun. Well, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, if you're old enough to go in the military and fight for the country, you should have all the rights that an adult has in America. That's just me, though. You're going to hear a lot of proponents come out against it. And there's an argument for both sides. But here's the thing. In our country right now, you can get a gun. If you want a gun and you're 15 years old, there are some dirtbags out there that will sell you a gun or give you a gun in some cases. So they're going to get a gun one way or the other. But if you go to a dealer and get it, the one thing you have to do is you have to fill out paperwork. You have to answer all the questions, and they know you have the gun now, which if you're going to do something really nefarious, you know, most times you don't want people to know where you got the gun or anything like that, or have the gun traced to you. So, I mean, you know, it's there's some pros and there's some cons, but like I said, if you're old enough to go fight for your country, you should be old enough to do all the things an adult can do in America.
Yeah, I always think it's weird. Like, you can't really rent a car until you're 25. That's a bizarre one. But
yeah,
in my opinion, like, I think people just don't understand what voting is. Because voting is what we do instead of going to war. Like, instead of civil wars to figure out what we do, we have voting. And so the idea that somebody can be eligible to cast a vote but can't be eligible to hold a gun is crazy to me, because the ability to wage war is the precursor to voting. We just do voting instead. And, I've often said that I don't understand why some 19-year-old girl has to depend on the protection of other people for her when she wants to be safe in her apartment instead of being able to buy her own gun. And I'll be honest, I oppose the handgun ban. Like, I think that's the primary weapon of self-defense that people who, you know, might be vulnerable, whether they're, weak or whatever. I want 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to be able to buy a gun because I think that they have a constitutional entitlement to it. But that, you know, I'm glad we're making this move. And I figured you would be. I was just kind of curious to get your take on it.
And I would say if they don't want them to have guns, then say you can't go into the military until you're 21.
Right.
Let's see how that works.
Yeah, and can't vote. I mean, take away the vote.
Yeah.
You know, see if you can
yep.
push. See if you can do that, right? You know, that would be an interesting move. Sheriff Bob Johnson, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time, keeping us informed and keeping us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.